Chapter 2, Early Yankee Whaling. The seas of the New World teemed with life when the English colonists arrived, and Native Americans had long obtained meat, oil, and bone from whale carcasses whenever one washed ashore. They may possibly have employed canoes to pursue small cetaceans in shallow coastal waters. Even as the numbers of coastal Native Americans dwindled through war, disease, and other factors, they integrated well into colonial commercial whaling ventures by becoming crew members valued for their skills as boatmen and harpooners. The colonial whale fishery began as an opportunistic, shore-based venture in the mid-17th century by logically building on centuries of European exploits. All aspects of this fishery were tethered to the shore because once a whale was caught and stripped of its blubber, the oil would go rancid if not rendered within a reasonable time. Settlers hunted right whales for their oil and baleen along the shores of Long Island, New London, Connecticut, Martha's Vineyard, Cape Cod, and up to Salem and Gloucester, Massachusetts. They used a technology pioneered by Norse and Basque whalers as early as the 9th century, and later perfected by Dutch and British Arctic whalers in the 1600s. With markets for the products increasing, the colonists soon expanded the fishery to include short, offshore hunting voyages in sloops and shallops. Around 1750, with the advent of shipboard tryworks, which are large onboard cauldrons in which blubber was rendered, whalers ventured further offshore for increasingly longer periods. With the ability to hunt and process whales at sea, whaling gradually emerged as a full-time occupation for some, with a hierarchy of responsibilities and specializations. Nantucketers began the systematic commercial sperm whale fishery in the early 18th century in pursuit of spermaceti, the waxy substance found in the sperm whale's cranium. This substance, used in the anointing of kings and queens, could be processed to make the brightest candles. Today, a lumen, or one candle power, is defined as the equivalent of burning 120 grains of this wax per hour. Sperm whaling became increasingly significant to the New England economy, and between 1768 and 1772, whale oil accounted for 53% of sterling by export to Great Britain. By 1750, the demand for head matter, another name for spermaceti, was intense, but this spermaceti was still used only as a refined oil. In 1751, however, Jacob Rodriguez Rivera, a Sephardic Jew from Portugal who had recently immigrated to America, arrived in Newport, Rhode Island with a secret. He had figured out how to separate head matter and make spermaceti wax. This revolutionary technology was very difficult to keep secret. In just a few years, there were 7 candle works. 5 were in Newport, and 4 were owned by Jewish merchants: Rivera, Naftali Hart, Isaac Steele, and Aaron Lopez. One of the candle works in operation was in Pennsylvania and known to Benjamin Franklin. By 1761, just 10 years after Rivera set up his shop, the United Company of Spermaceti Chandlers was founded. It outlined a business agreement to gain control of the spermaceti trade, thus creating the first monopoly in the colonies. Then as now, the laws of supply and demand governed the industry. There was a supply chain, as product moved from its raw state to a processed state and finally to the consumer. The suppliers were primarily from Nantucket. Then there were the manufacturers, who knew how to convert spermaceti into candles. Next came the merchants, including John Hancock, who wanted to control domestic consumption and exports to Great Britain, France, the Caribbean, and elsewhere. Finally, there was the consumer. Discriminating buyers considered spermaceti candles a luxury good, although there was a limit as to how much they would pay for it. Others tried to enter the market. After the American Revolution, England, France, and the provinces of Canada began their own sperm whale fisheries. Initially, it was with the guidance of American Tories and other loyalists fleeing the unrest in the American colonies. None of these fisheries, however, could claim strategic success. The refining of sperm oil and the manufacturing of spermaceti candles were among the first American industries, giving credence to the notion that even lowly colonists could manage a homegrown industry independently and profitably without interference or regulation from the crown.